Oh, gorgeous day, huh? I don't know that I'm looking forward to what I heard. It was supposed to be 75. Oh, yeah. It's too bad my dad couldn't be here this early in the year. When he comes in July, it's probably going to be raining again and cold. So it's like, yes, it really does get warm in Alaska. To our standards, anyway. Just not when our company always expects it. I don't know how many times I've gotten calls from family in Lower 48. When do you come? When is the best time to come? Well, what do you want to do? Do you want warm? Well, you probably better come earlier in the spring most of the time. If you want fish, come in June and July. August, if just 12 hours notice. It's gonna change. Oh, speaking of change, that was a good segue. Thank you. Speaking of change in our life happens when we are born again. And that's what our series of four lessons has been about. Our birth, our new birth in Christ and becoming a part of Christ. And oh my goodness, if you weren't here or you haven't heard last week's Sunday school lesson, you need to go back and listen. And even if you heard it and you were sitting here, you need to go back and listen. Because I'm sure you didn't get it all. Unless you have a memory much better than mine. So what can I say? Brother Perkins did an absolutely wonderful job being a vessel and sharing God's word with us. And then giving us more understanding of the importance of water and that water in our lives. So I'm going to recommend to whomever, go back and listen. If you haven't heard it all, please go back and listen. It's an awesome, awesome message. So today, all I can do is build on last week. And the lesson that was given to us, and with the Lord's help, that's what I want to do. Lord Jesus, help us as we look at your words today, and we talk about the conclusion of this new birth in our lives, and the fact that your word says that we must be born again, and how is that completed in our lives? And we give you glory and honor and praise in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So our lesson text, I guess I would be a bit negligent if I didn't mention these because they're really incredible verses. But we have heard, if you've been in this any lengthened period of time, you have read, you have heard about Joel chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. And it says, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Aren't we thankful that God said he was going to pour out his spirit on all flesh? And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids. In those days will I pour out my spirit. Praise God. And then flipping into the New Testament, Acts 1 and 8 says that we're going to receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon us. The Holy Ghost gives us the power that we need to be witnesses. To be witnesses. There's a lot of purposes for the Holy Ghost. But this is a main one. So that we can share and be a witness unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. How many of you seen that illustration about the circles that go outward? And that's our sphere of influence. God wants our sphere of influence to start at home. Be an influence in my life, in our family's lives, and then your neighbors, and then across town. However that applies in your life. It's so romantic in our minds to the far off. That's such a romantic thought to go minister to, you know, way out there, those people that don't know, when right across the street is someone that doesn't know. But they're right there. It's not romantic. It doesn't draw any great pats on the back, and you know what I'm saying, to walk across and talk across the fence. That's just everyday life. It's not romanticized. And then, oh my goodness, I'm not going to read all of chapter 2 that was in the text. But when the day of Pentecost was fully come, when it was just the right time. Now, we know that this correlated with a feast, and it was all in God's perfect timing. God sets things out perfectly. Don't ever think that God is random. God is not random at all. We can be very random. And we are often very random, but He is purposeful in our lives. Praise God, praise God. Ephesians 5. That one didn't have, yes, it did have a marker. I forgot which marker it was. Yes, I do have it marked. Ephesians chapter 5, starting with verse 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wow. They are. They're evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Do you want to know the will of the Lord? He'll let us know what it is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but what? Be filled with the Spirit. That's what our lesson today is about, being filled with the Spirit. And that's our focus verse, verse 18. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And you know what? I like the next two verses too, so let's just continue on a little bit. Be filled with the Spirit. And what happens in our lives? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's an absolute contrast to verse 16. Because when we are thinking about the evil that exists around us, we might not be filled with singing and melody in our hearts. But the Holy Ghost gives us the ability to lift ourselves out of this and join in joyfulness in our hearts. And then in verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Always giving thanks. We don't have any of this without being thankful. None of it. None of it do we have without being thankful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, if you had your booklet and you read it and went through it, I'm done, okay? I'm done with the booklet. Because I want to go and connect a little bit into last week's lesson. The focus of last week's lesson, and I'm not going to repeat all that. I couldn't. And besides, I couldn't get done with what is happening today if I tried to repeat all of that. But John 3 talks about this being born again. I'm going to quickly read through John 3, 3 through 8. And then I'm going to look at some of the words for spirit that you find in the scripture. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I know I left off the very beginning of that verse. And then in verse 4, Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And then Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man, all of us, this is mankind, a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whether it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. When we are born of the Spirit, we have something that cannot be taken away from us. We can let go of it, but it cannot be taken away from us. This process of being born again. Now, I already mentioned that last week's lesson talked about this water in a way I'd never, ever looked at water before, and the importance of water. But today we're talking about the power of the Holy Ghost. And we are not born until you finish the process. You're not born until it's all done. So, looking at most of these that I'm going to mention when looking at the words, and you know what? I didn't bring my notes up here. Excuse me. I didn't write all this out on my iPad because I had already written it out on paper. So, neshma, Hebrew, for breath. Genesis 2 and 7. There aren't very many mentions of this. I didn't write down exactly how many, the number. But the first time this word is used in the Old Testament is Genesis 2 and 7, talking about Adam, who had been formed. God got down in the dirt and formed man. And when you read, breathed into his nostrils the breath right there is this word, neshma. Now, the rest of the times that is mentioned in Scripture is really talking about it transitions away from that was breath from God. But it transitions in a lot of the verses that I read away from that God gave that breath, that man took it away. A lot of them are referenced, this word is used a lot of times connected to our flesh in that our life has been taken away and we no longer have this breath. Now, I'm not going to say that's all of the verses, but it is the majority of the verses that I read when you are using the word neshma in the Old Testament, it's about our natural breath being taken away. Now, I never would tell you that it isn't about that it came from God. Anyone who is born and breathes is because God gave them that breath. God gives them, God gives all of us our breath. And it was perfect in the beginning. That breath was perfect in the beginning, but we turned it into a fleshly nature. We disconnected. Mankind disconnected from God. And it came on, became this natural connotation. In Genesis, also in the Old Testament, the word ruah, which is spirit. Now, ruah is all over the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, it is in 32 of the 39 books of the Old Testament. Just seven books do not have the word ruah in it. Ruah is wind, and by resemblance, breath, that is a sensible or even violent exhalation. So the spirit can be sensible in our lives, in just looking at that, or it can be forceful in our lives. And many of these verses talk about the spirit being forceful. But in first mention, Genesis 1 and 2 says, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit, Ruah, the Spirit of God, moved on the face of the waters." What a change. The voice of God, the breath of God, the Spirit of God made on that earth that was without form and void. So the difference in those two Hebrew words, that there may be more Hebrew words that talk about breath or spirit or that, but those are the two that I saw that I wanted to focus on here. And then one more Greek word this time. And it is found in Matthew 1 and 18, and it is pneuma. First mention of this is in Matthew 1 and 18, and the end of that verse was that Mary, after the conversation with Gabriel, was found with child of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost created life in her body in a manner that was contrary to how life was created. And God was the father of her child. But that word right there is the word pneuma, which is a current of air that is breath, a blast, or a breeze. So Greek words. I'll get out of those things. I know sometimes they're not terribly interesting to listen to all of that. Oh, and you know what? Pneuma is in 24 of the 27 books of the New Testament. It's not in Colossians or 2 John or 3 John. I don't know why Colossians didn't include it, but it's not there. So, looking at spiritual birth. Spiritual birth, I don't know how many times we've heard this. I've heard it. I've heard it a long time. It was a subject that my mom and then my dad were very versed in and wanted to share understanding about birth and how our spiritual birth resembles a natural birth. And I know they didn't have it. They were not the only ones that ever talked about that. But I did yesterday read through a 53-page set of notes on babes in Christ in the whole process. It's like, whoa, okay. That was more than I wanted to take in at the moment. But our spiritual birth resembles our natural birth. And in a nutshell, and then we will get into the last part of our birth. In a nutshell, we are conceived in the Spirit when the Word of God meets that measure of faith that's talked about in Romans. Because we are all given a measure of faith. And when the Word of God is shared in love into our lives, we are conceived. And then we grow in more knowledge of Him. And I just want you to know that in natural birth, we know that there's a distinct timeline that all of this happens in. But spiritually, it can all happen in a very short time, or it can take a really long time, depending on the person and the condition of their heart. And also, spiritual birth may not ever come to fruition. Do you have a question? Sure. Mm-hmm. It's actually a reflection of both. When we are naturally born, we are born, and I'm going to get to that. So if you want, I'll answer it right now, or I'll get to it in a minute. Okay, but it is a reflection of both, because our natural birth is patterned after our spiritual birth. Or you could say, no, I think spiritual birth was in place in God's mind before our natural birth ever was. But anyway, natural birth happened before spiritual birth happened to anybody in the scripture. So our natural birth is a pattern of conception, and we are conceived when the seed of the man meets the seed of the woman, and life is created right then. And David, the psalmist, said that he was known before he was born. And Jeremiah talks about that he was known and had a calling on his life before he was ever conceived. And so when we are conceived, it's the Word of God that meets our measure of faith that everyone is given. And we grow in more knowledge of Him, and we are drawn into repentance. It could happen right away, or it may take some time of learning about God. You're conceived as a child of God, but it may take time to learn about God before you feel that, oh my goodness, my life is full of things that God doesn't like. And I need to repent of that. So when we are coming to repentance, you can look at that as the beginning of the travailing for birth. And then our birth begins when we come through blood and water. A natural baby being born comes through blood and water in the process of birth. And when we are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, we have the blood applied in water. And we learned last week how important the water was in our lives. And we also learned how important the water is in the development of a newborn child. They're not going to be developed if there's not enough water in that amniotic sac. They have to have that water. We absolutely have to have water applied to our lives in baptism, that we're buried. That dead man from repentance has to be buried. And we're buried with Christ in baptism. And just like Christ in Romans chapter 5 or chapter 6, just like Christ, we are risen again. He rose again. He brought himself out of the grave. When he was risen and he had a brand new life at that point. Now, at any time during this process so far, that baby may not make it. That's a part of nature. It's a very hard part of nature. But it is also hard spiritually. Have you worked with someone and worked with someone and worked with someone and did everything you thought you could do? And that babe didn't finish the process. It's hard when babes don't finish the process. And just like the natural, in the spirit, it's hard when someone that we work with, a babe that we have been leading and guiding, doesn't make it. But that doesn't happen all the time. And we don't ever want it to happen. We want every child of God that is conceived when the Word of God finds root to come to full birth. And what I want to concentrate on for the rest of the lesson today is that birth is not complete without taking in a breath. When a baby is born, not very often do they come out crying. They got to do something. Sometimes they just need to be flicked on the foot or something. You got to get their attention. Years ago, doctors used to just smack them on the butt. I don't know. It's what I heard. Didn't witness anything like that ever. But you have to sometimes get that baby's attention. Sometimes mucus and things need to be cleared from their lungs and their nostrils so they can take in a breath. The only breathing that had happened to that point was in the womb, and there's fluid that was there for creating and making those lungs work. But now it's time to change the orientation, change the atmosphere. We need to change the atmosphere in our lives when we are finishing the process of being born again. The fact that we need the Spirit of God in our lives brings about this change in our lives. Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Right, right. Right, right. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Right. Absolutely. 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 We have to be born both. You're not born without baptism and applying the name of Jesus Christ to your life. You're not. And in most cases, that should happen first. Naturally, you can't start breathing air until you're born, until you have made the transition into another atmosphere. And God wants us to transition in our process of birth, in the spirit, in this process that it is a process. It takes time, it takes love, it takes care. Sometimes it takes struggle. Some of the reading I did referencing, oh, I wish I could eat. I wish I wasn't getting kicked so much. I hated it when my kids would kick me in the diaphragm and punch me in the bladder at the same time. I know that's probably TMI, but I'm telling you, you can't move because you just got the breath kicked out of you and you need to move somewhere else unless there's a wet cleanup. But those are natural parts of birth, and you know that this baby is alive because you feel this baby is alive. Well, when we're working with people that God has sparked love in and a connection, and they're working toward being born, it's not always comfortable. They may do something that breaks our heart. They may walk away for a while. And then we pray and we hope that they're going to come back. And we work to help them come back. If not in any other way, we pray that they'll come back. Because they could be too far away for us to connect with them. But this birth is so important in our lives. And we need to make sure that it is finished. And do not misunderstand me when I say when birth is finished by the infilling of the Holy Ghost, that's all we have to do. Absolutely not. That's the very beginning. That first breath that a newborn baby takes, and then a sound comes forth. And everybody, wherever the baby is being born, is waiting for that sound. If that sound isn't happening, we start worrying. If there's doctors and nurses, they're working to make something happen. To hear a sound of birth. And in the spirit, we are working toward finishing our birth by the sound of the infilling of the Holy Ghost. We want to take in that breath. As Pastor said, that it is in verse, let's see, that would be verse 8 of John 3, that the wind bloweth where it listeth. The wind, the Spirit of God, and just as a note, the same pneuma is word in this chapter, in this verse right here, and it is spirit, the last verse. The same word, the same Greek word is in that same verse. It's referred to as the wind. The spirit or the wind of God moves wherever it is going to move. I took a walk yesterday and I could hear the wind blowing those new leaves that are on the trees. I couldn't see the wind, but I could hear it, and I could feel it hitting my body. And the Spirit is like that. We don't know exactly where the Spirit is by our visual conception. But we can feel the Spirit. When we walked into this building today, well, we brought the Spirit with us, but we felt the Spirit of God gathering as we gathered together. And we will again introduce and invite the Spirit in just a few minutes by our prayer and worship before the service. And we've already prayed and listened to the singing of the practice. And all of that draws the Spirit into our presence. And so we can feel Him. We can see the rustling. We can see the worship on other people's lives, like the wind blowing in the leaves of the trees. We can see it and we can feel it, but we don't always have it. It's not always recognizable in our lives. We have to come back and receive His Spirit. I say come back. Remember in Genesis when the breath of life was given to Adam, and I said that that word was translated a lot more to our natural breath. It was referred to as the breath that was taken away in battles and kings that were killed and things. That was many of the mentions. And so our breath that we are born with on the day that we are born has become, although it came from God, it is more of our natural breath. And when we are born of the Spirit, we have to transition from using our natural breath to taking in the Spirit in that. And then the Spirit speaks out of us, just like that baby's very first breath and a cry comes out after. And that breath, we need to reconnect with the Spirit that is with God, not our natural breath. We need to have the pneuma back in our lives, not this natural breath that we were given. And when we receive the Holy Ghost, it is His breath that comes into us and His breath that wants to come out. There are a lot of hindrances to that. I think one of the biggest hindrances that I have found in watching people receive the Holy Ghost, and especially in my own life, is that we have spent however much time it is in control. And you can't receive the Holy Ghost when you're in control. You have to absolutely let go of all of that control so that what comes out of you is not what's coming out of here. Because our mind controls what we say. Teaching children how to talk, we want them to talk. Something is wrong if they're not talking. We worry if they're not talking at a certain age. But oh my. After they learn to talk, oh please. Shh. A pastor once told me that you spend the first 2 years of a child's life teaching them how to walk and talk. And the rest of their life, you're going to tell them to sit down and be quiet. Except he didn't say be quiet. Because we are in charge. We're in control. We're going to do it. And we're going to do it our way. But God needs us to let go of that. In the Holy Ghost, we need to let go of control. A song, well, as I told Sister Glover, thank you very much. I had a refrain, just like three or four words, and I had no idea what song it belonged to. But I had the tune, sort of. Not that I was very any good at practicing it, because I'm just not really good at that all the time. But this refrain was running through my mind, and I found out, thanks to Sister Glover, that it is out of the song. It's. I think I have it written down. Great are you, Lord, by casting crowns. Great are you, Lord, by casting crowns. And these are the words. You give life. You are love. You bring light into darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. Because it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. It goes on and on repeating those sections of Scripture. And it's beautiful. But God puts his breath in us on the day we're born. But we are in control of that breath. When he gives it to us, then we are in control of it. At least we think we are. We count on the fact that we're in control of it. Because we feel like we are controlling our lives. But it's his breath. And God wants us to reconnect with his breath in a relationship of being born again, like Nicodemus really didn't understand. Being born again in that process of conception and moving into repentance and then moving past repentance in baptism and then receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, because God is life. God is love. He brings light into darkness. The darkness of our lives, the darkness that's around us, we can shine his light into that darkness. All of the benefits of this being born again, we need them for the hope that's before us. One of the statements that I read in all of those pages and notes that I will mention here is that my dad wrote that being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ is our birth certificate. It's our birth certificate. But if you've traveled out of the country that you're in, you need a passport. And the scripture says you're not getting up here without a passport. And when we receive the Holy Ghost, it's our passport to heaven. And you have to have both. You have to have a birth certificate to get a passport. Did you mail your birth certificate? I had to mail my birth certificate in when I got my passport. And hope that it came back. And it did. It did. Not as in the timely fashion that I thought it might should have. But it came back to me with a passport. And God wants us to be his child and have his name applied in that birth certificate. And then he wants to give us, he wants to seal us with the passport of the Holy Ghost. And so think of all the benefits that we have in the Holy Ghost. We are in him. We're wrapped up in him. We can speak in him. We can share his light among those that are around us. There are so many things that the Holy Ghost gives us. And great are you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for the Holy Ghost. And we're going to get ready for service today. I hope that something came out of the lesson that can be helpful to you, and know that you need the seal of the Holy Ghost. We need to share the seal of the Holy Ghost. We need to share with those around us that they need the Holy Ghost and that they need to be born again. Lord bless you.